Good evening, everybody. It's time for our kids' class tonight. We are so excited that you're here. I'm just trying to get organized as I begin. As we look, today is we're going to do some review. We're going to sing some songs, and then we'll have our adult Bible class. If you would, I know you know these songs, so let's sing Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. All right, the next song we're going to sing is Jesus Loves the Little Children. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I hope you're all joining in as we begin tonight, and we'll miss seeing you in person. We do get to see each other every once in a while. Let's sing the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone by the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible. All right. Let's go ahead and let's sing one more song. I know you know this one. This is our Bible class song. It's the one that we sing every week. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. For God loves you and I love you and your teacher loves you too. When you go to class, your teacher will tell you all that God has done for you. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. For God loves you and I love you and your teacher loves you too. When you go to class, your teacher will tell you all that God has done for you. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, 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 very quiet. Boys and girls in your Bible class, be very, very shh, very, very shh, quiet. All right, I hope you are joining in. I hope you are singing some songs with us. And now I'm going to pull out two cards. Okay, remember we had this one. It was the one on John. It's the green card. And we did that for the last, over the summer, I guess it would be. And we are going to look at a few things on that one. And then we're also going to look at one, maybe two on this one tonight. And to see if you remember things. Tonight, we got to put our thinking cap on. All right, when we look at our green card, and we're going to do a little bit of review. Does anybody remember what the green card, what book of the Bible it's from? It may be from a gospel account, and I hope you said John. Yes, let's see, this goes through the book of John so that we can know and know where things are. All right, so when we look at the first chapter of John, we know that Jesus is God, our Creator. And then we have, remember I taught you this, the next four, that's four, are water verses. Oh, chapter 2 is water to wine. Chapter 3 is Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Chapter 4 is Jesus teaches the woman at the well. And chapter 5, that Jesus heals the man at the pool of Bethesda. Now, what chapter is Jesus referred to the bread of life? I hope you said chapter 6, because we are going in order. Then we look at chapter 7. Do you remember what chapter 7 is? I hope you do. Jesus teaches in the temple. And then chapter 8 is Jesus, the woman taken into adultery, and they take her to Jesus. And then something happens in chapter 9. There was a man who could not see. And what did Jesus do to him in chapter 9? He healed the blind man. That's right. And then we see something that Jesus was in chapter 10. He is the true shepherd. Yes, then one of Jesus' friends died, and Jesus raised him from the dead, and that was Lazarus. You know what chapter that was? I hope you said 11, because that's the right chapter. Then Jesus predicts his death in chapter 12. Do you know what special thing Jesus did in chapter 13? It may be a dirty job, but Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Yes. In chapter 14, I think this starts to get to the important stuff. All of it's important, but Jesus, we learn that in chapter 14, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then we have chapter 15 is how to be a friend of Jesus. Okay. Then chapter 16 is the coming of another part of God, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Remember, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All right. Now, Jesus did something in the garden before his death, and one of those things that we do this all the time is what did Jesus do? He prayed in John chapter 17. And then in John chapter 18, he was arrested and tried by, do you remember who that was that tried him? What governor? Did you say Pontius Pilate? All right, so then we have something very sad that happened in John chapter 19, Jesus on the cross. And then in chapter 20 is something very exciting that Jesus raised from the dead. And in chapter 21, Jesus said something to his disciples. He said, "Feed my sheep." All right. Now, the reason we're reviewing this is because we want to put it up here, right? We want to remember these things. We want to keep those in mind so whenever we're looking something about Jesus, we can go to those chapters and we'll know them. And so it's good to review them. Now, does anybody, now I'm going to pull my card out here. Does anybody remember what you learned last week? Well, this might be hard. There's a lot that happened between last week and tonight. So can you remember? In Genesis 22, I'll give you a hint. Genesis 22, I hope you told your parents, or you're shouting right now, that Abraham did what? He sacrificed Isaac. Now, you may think that we're going on to the next one, but that's not what's going to happen, because Andy's going to do that next week. And he has a lesson for the kids, for you guys, and then he's going to teach to the adults as well. And that's Genesis 27, that's Jacob and Esau. So you might want to start learning about that. Jacob and Esau is in Genesis 27. But I want to teach you a verse tonight. It's a different verse. It's not on any cards, but it's one that my grandma used to teach me when I was younger. She taught all of her grandkids this verse. And it's so important because it is a special message. It helps us to remember each day. And it is found in Psalm chapter 118, or the song number, 118th Psalm. And it's in verse 24. And I want to help you memorize this tonight. Psalm 118 and verse 24. Now, this will go along with some of our cards that we remember. It says, "This is the day the Lord has made." Remember? This is the day that the Lord has made. Remember that we learned about creation. But God has made every day a day for us, and a day for you, a day for me. So God has made this for us, and we need to remember that. This is the day that the Lord has made. Can you say this? Let's take a second and say this. Say it again. This is the day that the Lord has made. All right. I hope you said that along with me. We're going to get back to that in a second. And there's a second part to this. So remember that this is the day that the Lord has made. And there's something that we need to do. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So when we think of this, that we have a day every day that God has given us. And what are we going to do about it? We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. All right, let's say that part. It says, we will rejoice. Did you say that? We will rejoice and be glad in it. All right, now let's try to do this all together. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. Now, I wanted to talk about that for a second. We go through every day, and every time we go to bed, we wake up, and then there's another day. And every day we need to wake up and remember that God made us. And he gave us this day that we can live. Now we have a choice. We could be grouchy when we wake up and not want to do what God wants us to do, or maybe not do what mom and dad want us to do. Or we can choose to be glad in the day that we have. Now I know most of you are very happy children. But sometimes you may grow up and maybe you're not happy some days. Maybe you go through things and just maybe sad, maybe tired. Those things can happen a lot. But we got to remember, we start each day remembering that God gave us this day. And then we remember that we have to rejoice and be glad in that day that God has given. All right. Well, that is our lesson today. Now, just a little bit, and I know that things that help us remember this psalm, and there's a song to it, and it's just the same as the verse. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. All right, remember Psalm 118, verse 24. Maybe next time you see that, you come up and say, "Mr. Stephen, I know what this says," and just tell me, okay? I'll be glad to hear you recite that verse. All right, we have one more song that we're going to sing, and we sing this every week, and it's for us to always remember who we are made in the image of God. Do you know, little child, what is in you? Can you dream, little child, of going far? Do you know, little child, of the power you've been given Do you know, little child, whose you are? You were made in the image of God. Just a little bit below the angels. And the masterpiece of heaven's hand is your body and your soul. You were made in the image. You were made in the image. You were made in the image of God. In the image of God. All right, let's have a prayer, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this day that you've given us. Help us always to rejoice and be glad in it. We pray that you be with these children as they live their life, as they go back to school, as they begin each day. And we pray that you be with them and help them and bless them. Father, we are so thankful for them. We pray that you keep them safe and be with them and their parents. It's through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now we're going to begin our adult class. If you would turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've been going through the first few chapters of 1 Corinthians. And what I want to do tonight is go through the whole chapter 3. But first, before we do this, remember there is, since we're not doing it every week, and it's just doing it when I'm filling in for Andy. Let me just do a real quick review. We look at chapter 1 and verse 1 through 9, and we see the introduction to the letter and how Paul wrote this to the saints, those who are in Christ, those who are called saints. We see that there was a problem. There was division in the church, chapter 1, verses 10 through 17. And then we see there was a rebuke in that there shouldn't be any division among us as Christians to the church in Corinth, to the church here today. There should not be any divisions. And then we also see then the wisdom of God. And Paul talked to about the wisdom of God and how it was in comparison to the wisdom of man and how God's wisdom is so much greater than man's wisdom. And we see there's a result of man's wisdom. There should be humility. And we kind of get to that towards the end of chapter 2, how we should have, or chapter 1, I mean, have humility in us that we need to give God the glory, that God had a plan, and that plan is through Jesus Christ. And we see the proof of God's wisdom is Jesus Christ. Now, there's division. And then we see we need to follow God's wisdom. We need to see why we need to follow God's wisdom because of Jesus Christ. We need to look at what Paul talked about in chapter 2, 1 through 3, that he came to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why did he preach Jesus Christ and him crucified? Is because that's the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of God's plan for each of us. And then we see that is so important for us to understand that man's thinking would have probably had their Messiah live on this earth and reign forever and be an earthly king. But God's wisdom is far greater than that and far greater than the wisdom of man that he came and sent Jesus to die for our sins, that we may have an opportunity to be reconciled back with God. And that reconciliation is so important for our lives, because we need to be right with God. We know from Isaiah, it talks about how sin separates us from God. Now, God's hand is not too short that he can't save us, or his ears are too dull that he can't hear us, but our sins have separated us from God. And Jesus is that reconciliation for us, that he died on the cross for our sins, on our behalf. And we look at, that's the wisdom of God in our working through this world, through our lives. And what then we have in chapter 2, we then see more of God's wisdom, the Spirit, the Spirit from God. We see in chapter 2, in verse 5, it says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. The power of God is Jesus Christ. The power of God is the Spirit from God. Now, this Spirit has tested all things of God, and he knows God, and he's gone through all that to get to this, that we have the wisdom of God written for us in our learning. And we can have the knowledge of God. And that's really what we need in our life. We need to have that knowledge of God. And where does that come from? Well, it comes through the Holy Spirit. And we look at that as revealed to us through the Word of God. And we know that that was the same thing that Jesus taught, which came from God. So we see the whole Godhead working together to bring forth the revelation for us to know God's will. And it's so important to understand that. It is so important for us to understand that is God. And when we can look at his word and we can understand his word and know what we need to do to be saved from our sins. Now, how does this all relate to division? Well, we'll get to that as we get into chapter 3, because we see what happens is, what should have happened is there should be knowledge of God and there should be growth. And when we learn about Jesus and we learn about what God has done for us, we should grow and learn more about Christ and grow as Christians. And eventually not just grow, but grow to be teachers. And that's really what Paul is giving them a hard time over in chapter 3. And we'll just go ahead and read 1 through 5 and talk about that. We kind of talked about this last time, but then we're going to get into some new material here. In verse 1 in chapter 3, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one." We see here the problem. These Christians in Corinth did not grow. They heard about the message of Christ. We know that they believed in it. They believed in Jesus Christ. They confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Son of the living God. We know that they repented of their sins, and we know that they were baptized for the remission of their sins. We can go back to chapter 1, and we know that they were sanctified, that they were called to be saints. And we understand that they are Christians, but yet we see that they were carnal, that they were fleshly. They didn't grow in the knowledge of Christ. And how do we do that? Well, it's taking that information that we learn about Christ and applying it to our life. You see, they weren't doing that. And you see what he said. He said that you are still carnal. I like the New American Standard where it says you are still fleshly. You know, we look at that and we understand what that means. We are fleshly. We look at so much in the flesh that we forget about the spiritual side of life. And applying that, those principles that we learn from Jesus Christ and the teachings of Jesus Christ, and we apply it to our life and live a better life, a more abundant life, as Jesus put it. When we look at that, we see that, how did he know that they're carnal or fleshly? He said, "For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, you see, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" You see, what he is getting at, and he gets into this, you're attaching your loyalties to human teachings. You're attaching your loyalty to Apollos, and you're attaching your loyalties to Paul or Cephas. We look at that, and that's not our loyalty. Our loyalty is to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We get back to chapter 2. And that is who our loyalty is. In what Paul was saying is that you're behaving and following these men, these fleshly men. They're mere men. Why not follow God? You know, we can't have divisions among us. We look at that, and that is carnal, that's fleshly thinking. God, we look at God, and we know Ephesians chapter 4, that there is one, the oneness of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the one church, and all this comes down to we have to go back to the wisdom of God. If we don't go back to the wisdom of God, then we're not. We're going to go by the teachings of men, and we're going to follow fleshly thinking, and that fleshly thinking is not going to lead us to God. Now, I want us to see this. When we look at this, who is Paul? He is, and who is Apollos? When we look at what they were saying, is they're just servants or ministers of whom one believes. We see that we have to have an understanding of the wisdom of God. And we have to understand the role of man. But in order to do that, we have to understand the wisdom of God. And now, we may think this is unfathomable. In some ways, it is. In other ways, God has revealed this to us. And that's really what chapter 2 deals with, the spiritual side of it, is we can know what God is like. We know that God is love. We know that God cares for each and every one of us. We know that God is all-knowing and ever-present everywhere. These are revealed in Scripture for us to know about God and know the wisdom of God. And we understand this. We know that understanding the wisdom of God, we have to know Jesus Christ. We have to know that He is the Christ. He is the Messiah that is talked about throughout the Old Testament, that He is the one that will redeem us from our sins, that He is the Son of God. We also need to understand the truth. In order to understand the truth, we need to know that what have proper discernment from what is truth and what is of man. And that's important for us to then study the wisdom of God, which is His Word, and understand that we need to grow in that wisdom. How are we going to grow if we don't learn about God's Word? How are we going to grow if we don't take time to talk to Him in prayer? These are questions each of us have to answer. We have to learn how to grow. And the only way we can grow is by using God's wisdom. And we use God's wisdom is when we open up the Bible, when we open up His Word and take the time to study it. You know, we look at this and we need to just take that time to read it. There are so many things that we could go through in life. But if we forget about God, we forgot about the most important thing. And if we forget about God, all we're doing is living a carnal life. Like these people, that we were fed milk, but we can't have the solid food. That we didn't go anywhere with that, and we look at what fleshly thinking and carnal thinking. We know that Jesus taught about this over and over again, and if you would, maybe you want to turn to Matthew chapter six, and verse 19. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth or rust destroy, or where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We look at this. When we say, where is our treasure? Where is our thinking? Where is our focus? If we're focused on the physical each and every day, that's where our heart is, isn't it? If we are focused on the spiritual life, isn't that where our heart should be? When we focus on God, we focus on His Word, we focus on our prayer life to Him, we focus on growing in the knowledge of Him. And that's what Paul was talking about here. I need to get a drink. I'm sorry. All right, so now the next thing, if you would turn to 1 John chapter 5, or chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And these are reminders of our thinking and how we should live. It says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away in all of its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." You see this? Where our treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where our lusts in those types of things, they should all be passing away. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. We're going to be with God eternally if we get rid of this fleshly thinking. Now, I know it is hard. I worked in the world, and it is hard sometimes to take time to reflect upon the spiritual time of life. You need to develop a schedule. Some type of schedule, a daily schedule, where I am going to focus maybe this half hour, maybe this hour of reading my Bible and reading about God and the wisdom of God and how those certain things are. Tell you what, it'll change your life. Take the time to do it. Take time to seriously go in prayer. And one, thank God for given us the revelation that we can know his wisdom, that we can know about him, and take time to seek him and to pray to him and make requests to him, talk to him. You see, we have to have a relationship with him. And that's what I think we kind of get to at the end of verse 5, that yet Paul is giving him a rebuke, but at the same time, he's telling us about the role of man. And the role of man is to be servants. To be servants or ministers of whom one can believe, whom one believes. And that's what he said in verse 5. Who is then Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believe. You see, those people in Corinth, you believed because Paul and Apollos took the message of Jesus Christ to you. And you learned about God. They're just mere men. They're just ministers. They're just ones who brought the gospel to you. They are nothing, as we'll read on here. If you back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll start in verse 6, and we'll read down maybe to verse 11. Let's do that. Verse 6. Through 11. It says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as the wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, Paul really gets to the message here of who Paul is, who Apollos is, who these Christians are, and who we are, our role in life. We had a role. Paul had a role to these people in Corinth. Apollos had a role. But neither of them are really anything. They're just a mouthpiece. They're just ones who brought the message of Christ to them. But God gave the increase. He gave us opportunity to know the wisdom of God. And he causes the growth. So when we look at Paul and Apollos and Cephas and any of the other apostles or disciples, they're just they're not anything. They aren't anything. But God is everything. And that's the message that Paul is really getting to, that mankind, fleshly people, are just that. We are not anything, not anything special. But again, God is everything. So when we look at all of this and we look at the vision and we look at problems and we look at how we should think and what we should do, we need to turn to God, which is everything. And so he says, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God. But God. God is the one that gives the increase. He's the one that allows his message to work. We look at that. We know in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Let's just turn there. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I know we all know this. It's just slipping me for time being. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek." We see that we're not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Why are we not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because it is the power of God. The power of God is, that means God is everything. We teach Jesus Christ and him crucified, that changes people's hearts. They just like on the day of Pentecost, it cut their heart. They heard the message and it hurt them that they crucified the Messiah, the Savior of this world. When we preach the message of Christ, we're preaching, yeah, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but look what God has done for us. He's given us an opportunity to have salvation. Now we have a choice. Just because Jesus went to the cross doesn't mean that that's everything. Now, Jesus even taught that why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I have told you? And think about that. If we do not listen to the teachings of Jesus Christ, then we're not anything either. We're not going to have that redemption that is in Christ Jesus. But when we look at this, God gives the increase. God is the one. Now, what we need to understand, it is the power of God that we put our hope and trust in. We see that in various things. These apostles had the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's the miraculous part of the Holy Spirit to help them to know, so that the people know the message is true. We have the written word, and we have this confirmation of the word that we know it is from God. And we look at this in verse 8, then gets into, now he who plants and he who waters are one. Think about that for a second. We have to work together. One may plant, one may water. He uses this analogy of maybe a farm or a garden or something like that, where we go out and plant. And we go out and put that seed in there. And well, maybe we have to work the ground first and then plant the seed. And then someone has to come along and water it and build upon that and help it nourish and grow. But think about this. God gives the increase. God requires, gives the sunlight. God gives the oxygen and the carbon dioxide, those types of things that helps that plant to flourish. And he's also given us the seed and the ground and all that stuff. That how can we say that, well, I'm the reason that the gospel has changed this world? We're not. We're just mere men. But we look at this and it is God. God is everything. God has given this opportunity for us to be reconciled back to him. And now, in each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, that may seem like, wow, we'll receive a reward if we go out and do what God wants us to do. Well, yes, we will. And we look at that, and that reward is heaven. And we look at this, and he kind of leaves it as a way of earning wages. No, we can't earn our salvation. We can't earn a better place in heaven. I really don't think we can. But we can get this. It's the result of faith expressed. when we go out and live the Christian life. And that's, it's part of it, is applying that the wisdom of God to us and then going out and sharing that gospel message with others. And that is the result of us growing to the point where we want others to go to that eternity with God forever. You see, and that's where he gets to in verse 9, we are God's fellow workers. We are here. We are here and we have the message of God, the written word of God, and we can go teach that to others. And we are his workers. We, those Christians in Corinth, those Christians in any other city, the Christians now today, we are God's workers. And he said to those people in Corinth, you are God's field and you are God's building. You see, these young Christians, these immature Christians, as we look back in verse 1, he said, you are where God is working in the field. And you are the building in which is being built upon, growing, building up. But God uses Apollos and uses Paul to teach these young Christians here. And we look at that, and it's an important message for us to understand. The God's word needs to go out to the world. And people need to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. They need to hear that wisdom of God. And we are God's fellow workers. We, individually and collectively, as a body of Christ, we are God's workers. Yeah, we need to build up the body and build up the kingdom of Christ in the church. But we need to also go out and teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we have to be careful how we build. How we work in the foundation which we are laying. You see, Paul built on the foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. He said, according to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is what Paul then built upon. And then what Apollos came and built upon that. You see, each has a responsibility for laying and building the church and building the kingdom of God. And let each one take heed how he builds upon it. You see, we got to be careful how we're building it. Are we doing it God's way or man's way? Are we doing it by the wisdom of men or by the wisdom of God? You see, when we do it based on the wisdom of God, we're laying it on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And guess what? It'll be firm. It'll be a firm foundation. And that is what we want. No other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Think about that. Think about how we have to lay that foundation on Jesus. There was disunity. There was carnal thinking. There was all these things. But you take all that aside and teach the message, the wisdom of God, and teach his word, we're laying the proper foundation. Let's go to Isaiah 28 and verse 16, because really this verse is quoting that. Isaiah 28 and verse 16, because it's important for us to know. This is a quote, and this is what he's building upon. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. You see, this is a foundation that we can believe in. This is a foundation that we can trust in. It's tried. And we look at what Jesus did. He came and lived his life on in the flesh, and yet he did not sin. And what a great thing. We have someone who experienced our life on this earth that we can say, God, we need that strength that he had, and we can pray to him and talk to him. And we can look at this foundation where it's sure. Well, there is, it's not, oh, it's a little lopsided here or a little way. No, this foundation is sure. And that is the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, we get into the message, and I want to just continue reading here because I think it's important, and we will close. It says, now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone denies the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. It's beautiful. We look at what we established in the first 11 verses. It's kind of laid out in the application part of it. Now, we look at the gold, silver, stones, woods, hay, straw, those things that were mentioned. If we're laying our foundation on any of those types of things, it'll be shown. It'll be revealed, and it revealed with fire. And what does that reveal with fire mean? Well, that's a good question. When we look at this, we can know that the day of fire could be possibly the judgment day. We know that it'll come as a thief in the night. We know that it'll become with the world will be destroyed by fire. It could be that, or it could be a testing, a purification of how we deal with things in our life. When we look at this, we know that our work will be revealed all at the end before God. And it is all now, but it'll become apparent, I guess, to everybody. If anyone works, he has built on endures, and he will receive a reward. You see, what I think is getting at is this. We have work to do. We have to build upon that foundation. We have to teach people the message of Jesus Christ. Now, some of these items were mentioned to be pillars. And these pillars are like the apostles were, or Cephas was, and John. They're pillars in the church. Build upon that foundation, which is in Jesus Christ. And that's kind of what we can look at. And as we look at all this, we need to know who we are. We need to know that if we are of God or not of God. We need to know in verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God? We personally are the temple of God. We are where God dwells in us. We look at this and we may have questions and understanding of how this is, but God, through his wisdom, works in us and works because we learned about his wisdom. We're just mere people, but God can work in us. We are a temple of which we are living, and we're God's spokesman at this time. And we're to live that Christian life. And we look at this, and I think it's important that it says, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are, which you are. Now, think about that. We often find ourselves in make, I think, out of humbleness at times to say, you know, I'm not as holy as I should be. You see, that gets into striving to be, to walk in the light. And you see, if we're striving to walk in the light, we are walking in the light. That blood of Jesus continues to wash away our sins. But we have to be a Christian first. In order to be a Christian, we need to follow the wisdom of God, the teachings of Jesus, and the teaching of his disciples, because they're from Jesus. And we look at that and know that we're holy. We are God's special people. We are the temple of Him. And let no one deceive himself and be wise of this age. And we look and let him become a fool that he may become wise. And if you would, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. And I think this kind of lays out the principle here. It says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." You see, that's, I think, what verse 18 is getting at. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise of this age, let him become a fool that he may see from and may become wise. We have to do things God's way. And the first, that we know that the learning about the wisdom of God produces fear. And we need to understand that sometimes that we need to, if we want to be wise, well, we must become fools first and understand that God is so much greater than us. And then we see this prophecy that, or this is what he said, "For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile." God knows the thoughts of our thinking. And therefore, whenever we think about that, don't boast in yourself. Have humility. Have and understand that we are just God's people and nothing more. There's nothing greater in us, but we are just a servant, a minister of God. And where Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world and life or death, things present and things to come, all are yours. You have all this. You have all their teachings. You have the things of this world and of life. We need to make a decision. Are we going to be Christ? Are we going to follow Christ? Because Paul was determined to follow Christ. And we look at us. It says, "Are you, and you are Christ." So how do we deal with this? Well, I think when we look at striving to be more like Christ each and every day. I know it sometimes it seems like that we have an uphill battle, but we really don't. You see, we need to trust upon God. The more we trust upon God, the easier it gets. Yes, we'll go through tough times. Yes, we'll go through hard times. Yes, there will be difficulties. I understand this. But lean upon the Lord. Trust His wisdom. Follow after Him. And understand that that's where the strength comes in. We look at all this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the whole chapter. We need to understand our role as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we are just people. And we can be a people that still go out and teach others so that we let our light shine in this world so that people can hear the message of Christ. And it gets to this question, are we right with God? Can we really say we are Christ? You see, sometimes sin gets in our way. Sometimes we fall short of the glory of God. Well, we need to get right with God. And if we can help you do that, just make it be known. Please contact us in any way. Send me a message. Reach out to me. And we'll help you get right with God. If we can help you do that, just make it known. Before we close tonight, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wisdom. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to be right with you. Father, help us to understand your word and help us to understand your will, that we can be your workers in your kingdom. Father, we pray for unity. We pray that people will just turn to you and your wisdom, not the teachings of men, but to your wisdom and yours alone. Father, help us to be good stewards of your word, that we teach the truth of your word. And we are unwavering in that, building upon the foundation that is in Jesus Christ. Father, give us wisdom, give us guidance, give us strength. Father, we also pray for all those that are sick and suffering. Pray that you bless them. Each of us knows so many that need you, Father, and we pray for them at this time. Father, please forgive us of our sins. Help us to be more like Christ, and help us to be your people. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining in. We look forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10:40. Thank you.